If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Did you get my email?
I did.
And?
I did. One smiling, the other isn't.
Well, you were
and
all,
for with good reason.
If you're El Chapo, you're not posing for headshots. It's not like a prom picture if you're El Chapo.
There actually are some similarities. You're right. So Peter Brady will play El Chapo in the movie.
People on Facebook are agreeing, agreeing with me on this. He does that actor Christopher Knight, you know, now as an adult.
Mm-hmm.
I don't mean little Peter.
No, Peter Brady.
You know, throwing a football at Jan.
Oh, my nose.
I mean, adult Christopher Knight, if he had a mustache,
mm-hmm.
bears an uncanny...
A resemblance to El Chapo.
To El Chapo.
Well, you know, one of the things that he was interested in was having a movie made on his life. There is the actor to play it, right there.
He wants to...
laughing at me.
Well, no, what you're saying is right. I just think it's funny. I mean, look at the ego gone berserk. Imagine that from a multi-bazillionaire.
Oh, yeah.
Ego gone berserk. Who actually got caught because of his ego, right?
That's exactly right.
That's really what this boils down to.
With all the elaborate planning and scheming it took to get out of the prison and on the run for 6 months... You know, you're right. The ego is, I want a movie made of my life.
Give me Sean Penn.
Yeah, I want to talk to Sean Penn, and then they post it on the Rolling Stone website.
So do they reach out to Sean Penn? Does Sean Penn pick up his phone? Does he stop for a minute from beating up photographers to take a phone call?
I don't know. I don't know how they did get a hold of Sean Penn.
Did Rolling Stone? I mean, the interview was for Rolling Stone magazine.
Yes.
So does Rolling Stone... They know where El Chapo is? They're investigators?
Well, they want to talk to Sean Penn about this, and I would imagine because Rolling Stone was the publication for this, somebody's got some splaining to do in Rolling Stone.
Somebody's got some splaining to do.
Yeah.
It seems like if you know, I didn't read any place when this interview actually took place. I guess it must have been fairly recently, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it just came out over the weekend, I guess, on the website.
Or does Rolling Stone and Sean Penn, do they go, we were contacted by El Chapo, if that's what happened? I'm going to say that probably the El Chapo people
got a hold of
the Sean Penn people.
Right.
Not
yeah.
the other way around.
Mm-hmm. That's a good assumption.
We don't know. But I'm guessing El Chapo said, I want to talk to somebody about doing a movie. So they contact somebody. You know, we're going to bring you to where El Chapo is. Maybe Sean Penn was blindfolded, you know, like you see in the movies. You know what I mean? They put a bag on his head.
And take him to a secret location.
Yeah, they put a bag on his head and put him in the trunk of a car. Take him to a secret location.
Made him ride that motorcycle that was in the tunnel.
And, you know, they take him there. But maybe he's got some, like, scanning, you know, like a tracker device on him. Maybe he forgot to turn off Find Your Phone off on his iPhone, and they were able to track him down.
We do need a mustache here on Peter Brady in order for the picture to be even more similar to El Chapo.
I didn't know how to add that. I was going to.
Well, there's Photoshop.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
Okay.
It's above my pay scale. But so maybe the authorities were in on it the whole time.
Oh, now
you know what I'm
speculating.
You know
I thought
I mean?
We weren't going to talk about El Chapo today.
No, I'm fascinated by this whole thing. I'm fascinated. I mean, I'm just fascinated how Sean Penn gets the interview. But the more I think about it, and I think about billionaires, billionaire, or is he beyond billionaire? I'm going to say probably billionaire, right?
Oh yeah,
El Chapo.
Sure, he really one of the wealthiest men in the world.
If he's bragging about how he's the biggest. You know, he's acting like he's, you know, got more McDonald's franchises than anyone else. I sell more heroin and methamphetamines than anyone in the world. He's like these guys in the crazy car commercials you see on TV. I've got more bargains for you right now. Right? So if his ego is that, you know, gone that crazy that he's bragging to Sean Penn about all of that, he reaches out because he wants a movie made about himself. That's where the Achilles heel was.
Yeah, many questions.
In finding him.
Yeah.
So if Sean Penn goes there without notifying the government, isn't there some culpability?
Kind of an accessory.
Accessory? If he's going, this is public enemy aiding, number one.
Aiding and abetting, would that be, I think, the term?
That's what I'm thinking.
For a criminal, aiding and abetting?
I'm not an attorney, Schwani, as you well know. That time that I tried to represent you in traffic court.
Mm-hmm. Ended up getting doubly fined.
I'm not, I would think if you know where a wanted criminal is and you don't say something, aren't you also...
You're aiding and abetting.
Responsible.
And he was the most wanted man in the world.
So unless Sean Penn contacts the feds or whoever, was it the feds that caught him?
Yes.
Whoever it was that caught him. There was a Mexican official.
Mexican and
federales.
He's still there. He has not been extradited yet.
So if Sean Penn goes, hey, all I can say is watch where I go next Thursday. Keep an eye on me.
Well, haven't you interviewed Sean Penn in all your years of doing this?
I never
this?
Have.
Oh, you haven't?
Okay. He is famous for not wanting to be
not
interviewed.
Wanting to be interviewed.
Yeah, famous for it. Doesn't like red carpets, doesn't like the sit-down interviews, doesn't care for any of that. So, no, I have never interviewed,
okay.
never interviewed
right.
Sean Penn.
Well,
But I'm fascinated how all of this happens. And now what will happen? You know, that's
Yeah. Oh, yeah. As we've been reporting, the authorities do want to talk to Sean Penn. They definitely do. And, hopefully in the coming days and weeks, we'll get answers to the question. How were you contacted? Where did you meet him? When did all of this happen? When did this come down? And then to the Rolling Stone, were you the ones that wanted this in the first place?
And let me also just put this out as a general question. What should happen? I mean, if we find out that Sean Penn notified the authorities ahead of time, then he was helping to find this very dangerous and wanted criminal. But if he wasn't, if he was just going on the sly on this whole thing, what should happen to Sean? What should happen to somebody who does something like that?
Aiding and abetting.
Take El Chapo out of the equation. Any of the, wanted criminals that are out there right now. If somebody, helps somebody out there, what's the appropriate punishment? Do they get the same kind of punishment? Do they get something? Is it nothing? For that to happen. 312-981-7200. Jim's got a little information on this on our phone line. Morning, Jim. You're on WGN.
Hey, Dean, how are you this
Good.
Morning? Happy
Fine.
New Year.
You too.
What I have read is that Mr. Sean Penn was contacted by a Mexican actress who felt that El Chapo was actually more trustworthy than the Mexican government. So she was contacted by his El Chapo's attorneys, and that's how the connection was made between this actress. And I think her name is Kate Di Castillo.
Okay.
And that's how the connection was made. I'm sure that Sean Penn didn't contact him directly. It was through the attorneys and this actress who is now wanted, who the Mexican government now wants to talk to, both her and Sean Penn.
Yeah. That makes sense. And it goes to my El Chapo ego theory.
Oh, yeah.
That... that he wanted the story to be told. He contacts somebody in motion pictures that he knows.
Yep.
Apparently this actress. Mm-hmm. The actress goes, I'll get a hold of Sean Penn. We'll make the attorneys,
yep.
right? Not El Chapo himself.
Right.
I'm guessing that he didn't pick up the phone himself. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Right.
Baby, I got a movie deal for you, baby.
Right. Exactly.
So it comes down that way that El Chapo would like to talk to you.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Interesting.
So then does Sean Penn contact the authorities? Well, this is a movie in itself, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And I don't think Sean Penn, with his attitude, would contact the government.
Right. Yeah, he's kind of anti-authority.
Yeah. Yes, he is.
So kind of anti-authority.
I'm not seeing that happening.
Right. So, does that make Sean? Should that make Sean Penn
an accessory?
Culpable an accessory? Then, do you think?
I would think so. I would definitely think so.
I think if you know where public enemy number one is, and you don't say something, you then become an accessory. Seems to me.
I would think so. You know, but it sounds like it was pretty elaborate when they met. I would guess that he may have even been blindfolded and gone to some, you know, window-darkened room, car, wherever he went to. So he probably actually didn't know where he was, but he somehow got there.
Pretty wild. All right.
Yeah, it is wild.
Interesting theories there. And thank you for the information, Jim.
Sure.
Happy New Year to you. I appreciate your call. More phone calls, more texts next, 312-981-7200, WGN. 1048, Dean Richards Sunday Morning, WGN. Here is Sally. Good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi, Dean. This is Sally. Look, I'm not an attorney, but from what I've been reading, because like you mentioned, this is a very fascinating. First of all, Sean Penn would not be considered an accessory. If you recall, journalists do this all the time. In fact, 60 Minutes does it a lot. They get the mafiosa on camera, you know, even the mafiosa guys who are under indictment, you know, they do interviews with them. So I don't think that he would be considered an accessory. But
remember the Chicago journalist Russ Ewing?
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, he used to meet with, he used to get together with, you know, people who were wanted by the law,
mm-hmm,
and do interviews.
Right.
They would often contact him,
right,
for interviews. And
they want to get their story out.
Yeah, yeah. So,
you know, they want to get their story out. But also in terms of how he found El Chapo, from what I'm reading, El Chapo never left his hometown. When he escaped, he went back to his hometown. So the Mexican government knew he was there.
Well, that doesn't seem
smart. And you notice that the policia didn't arrest him, but the Marines arrested him this time.
Yeah.
So if you remember the movie Sicario, if you see that movie, that explains everything about the relationship between the United States and Mexico as far as these drug cartels, what we can do and what we can't do.
Right, and not only that, but also the relationship between criminals and law enforcement.
Yes, yes. So,
and how often there is no difference between
the
two when it comes to this.
And so he never left his hometown. You know, it's not as though he traveled and went to Venezuela or Brazil,
right,
or Europe. He was always there, so the Mexican government knew where he was. So
either that's genius that, you know, he goes, this is the last place they would look for me, because who, you know, what idiot would go back to your hometown if you're public enemy number one? So maybe he's thinking, they'll never look for me here. They'll think that I went to Switzerland.
He has protection in his hometown.
I guess
that's why he's there. You know, he has protection, so. Anyhow, yeah,
this
is
so
interesting.
Very fascinating. This is so interesting. This whole thing is so, so interesting, full of intrigue. Interesting call, Sally. Thank you very much.
All right, you're welcome.
Happy
Bye-bye.
New Year to you. Here is Rich up next on WGN, 312-981-7200, by the way. Hi, Rich.
Hi, how you doing? You know, who gets the reward money? I think there was like $5 million.
Yeah, you're right.
Reward money for his capture.
Yeah, the it was the U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration had set up a phone line and a $5 million reward for whoever.
So who gets it?
Does Sean Penn?
I would think so.
Does Sean Penn get? Oh, but this is, the plot is just getting better and better. This is becoming a Netflix made-for-TV movie. Fascinating.
Yep.
So do you think Sean Penn should be held responsible for any of this, Rich?
No.
I mean, is he an accessory?
What did he do wrong? You know,
no, I'm just saying,
the whole government there in Mexico is corrupt. If you can't buy them, then they intimidate them, the honest people there, you know. I mean, that's what he does. He threatens to kill your kids, your family. What are they supposed to do, you know? If he can't buy him, he'll intimidate him, you know.
So if there's a guy like that,
it's not like the USA.
Yeah, if there's a guy like that, though, you know, like El Chapo, who's doing all the things that you just mentioned, and you know where he is and you don't tell the officials where he is, are you responsible in any way or no?
Well, I suppose he is to some degree, you know, but I think what's all going to come out of it is he's going to want the $5 million.
Wouldn't. I get the interview and the $5 million at the same time. That's a good one. All right, Rich, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate your call. That's an interesting point. There is money on the line here as well. And this does bring up, boy, our previous caller brought up such a good point. The movie Sicario, which is about a drug, you know, trying to track down, you know, one of the world's biggest drug kingpins in this movie. And the connection between law enforcement and the drug kingpins, and how an organization can become so big and so powerful with everybody on the take. It sure seems like it's this story. It sure does seem like the El Chapo story, that's for sure. Jerry, good morning. You're on WGN.
Hi, I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I've been listening to this story about Sean Penn, and I'm thinking if I were Sean Penn, I'd go into a court of law or talk to an attorney and say, you know what, knowing the cruelty of these people and the stories that we have heard, I would be afraid for myself and the well-being of my family and extended family if I didn't go along with them.
So using that as his reasoning, if he did not say something ahead of time, you mean that he feared for his own personal safety had he said something?
And the safety of his family.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's a lot of facets to this, right?
Yes, there is.
That's what's you know, so interesting about this whole thing, and gives us such an insight into the mind into an organization like this that can stage such an elaborate breakout. Number one. But here's somebody who, you know, he successfully breaks out of jail in this elaborate tunnel, this elaborate labyrinth that was created for his escape. And then his ego is so enormous that he still reaches out to somebody who is in the public eye, who is, you know, there under the auspices of writing an article for Rolling Stone magazine. Putting himself in a very public way, as almost to, you know, stick his tongue out at the authorities, saying, you can't find me, but I just did an interview with somebody. I just did an interview with an actor, with a famous actor. It's amazing. It's amazing.
It is amazing, and I hope they do finally put him away.
Yeah, well, he's coming to Chicago. Apparently, what they're saying with the extradition, that they're bring him here to the Chicago area, which, yeah, you know, I don't want to say anything against any of our authorities, but don't we have enough problems in Chicago right now? Really?
I would think so.
Wow. All right.
Thank you.
Jerry, have a nice Sunday. Thank you so much for the call and the nice words. I appreciate it. It's 10:56. I'm sure we're going to be hearing a lot more about all of this El Chapo business. But in the meantime, if you have not gone to my Facebook page yet, you know, you got to take a look at, I got to figure out how to do the Photoshop, because I put a picture of El Chapo in there. There's a picture of El Chapo and Sean Penn, by the way, shaking hands, which is creepy. You know, like they're posing for a publicity picture. Hi, I'm public enemy number one. I'm an Oscar winner. It's weird. But I put a picture of El Chapo and I put a picture of Peter Brady, actor Christopher Knight, who I think looks just like him. If I could figure out how to do the Photoshop and put a mustache on Peter Brady, I would post those two pictures, because that's another weird side of the story. I think we know who will play El Chapo when that movie is finally made. It'll be Peter Brady. 10:57, we've got our A-list interviews coming up, and two pretty interesting conversations. One with actor John Krasinski. Super nice guy, by the way. I've interviewed him many times. Could not be a nicer guy. Interviewed him back when he was first starting off on the TV show The Office, playing Jim, the types of roles that he's been taking on are becoming bigger and bigger and bigger. And I think this movie that he's in now, 13 Hours, The Secret Stories of Benghazi, will put him on an even bigger level as an actor. A very interesting conversation with him about the 13 hours of the attack on the U.S. Embassy and the nearby compound in Benghazi in 2012, and also a conversation with his director of this movie, Michael Bay, who made some very interesting choices in telling this story. That is all coming up on my A-List interview this morning here on WGN.